Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1. So a bit of a change of pace now. We've got a spokesman or a spokesperson from Eastern Health, Lisa. Welcome, Lisa.
Oh, hi, Alan. How you doing?
Terrific. It's great to have you back again too,
great
Lisa.
Great to be here.
Before we get started, I've got to tell you, I had to go to my doctor a couple of months ago just for a checkup. And during it, he knows that I do a radio program, and he said to me something about, oh, what sort of guests you've had in? And I told him we'd had the breast cancer people in, and we'd had someone talking prostate. I said we'd had a lady in from Eastern Health, and she was talking about gut health. And he said to me, she's a very smart lady, because that is going to be the biggest thing that will be talked about in the next few years.
It has absolutely exploded, hasn't it?
And well, I don't know.
And
but
thank you to your doctor for his kind words, by the way. But so, yes, when I was here last, we were talking mood and food.
Yep, that's right. And I told him about that, and that's what he said. Well, you're going to hear heaps of that. He said it's only taking off now, but he said it is going to be huge over the next few years.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And we're learning so much about mental health and all the various factors that actually are relevant to how we feel.
Yeah, you wouldn't think mental health and the gut would have anything to do with each other, would you?
Absolutely not. Absolutely. But as it turns out, they do. And the research is telling us more and more about the links between the mind and the body. But today I am back.
I just had to say that before we got started.
Absolutely. Today I'm on to talk to you about our Better Mental Health Program. We're in week one of our fourth term of the Better Mental Health Program, so it's the final one for the year. But we're keen to let everyone in the community know about our Better Mental Health Program, which will highly likely be back in full force next year. Uh-huh. We've run so many versions of this online, Alan.
Is it mainly because of COVID?
Absolutely, because of COVID. COVID taught us that we could run the program just as effectively online, but boy, are we excited to be back face-to-face.
But also, though, apart from COVID teaching you that, are these mental issues that you're talking about, have they been exacerbated by COVID as well?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. There's been a lot of isolation. There's been a lot of challenges with mood and anxiety, and lots of adjustment for everyone in the community to wrap their heads around. Yeah. And there's the adjustment of all that's happened over the last 2 years with COVID and lockdown, and then there's the adjustment of going back to what sort of seems like it's going to be COVID normal.
Well, and the other issue too, and you'd know more about this than me, but I've been told that a number of community groups that particularly sell tickets to things are struggling a bit, because they're saying that some people just don't want to come back out. They're frightened to get out amongst the crowds again.
It's a little bit of a process, isn't it? A little bit of a process, and I would absolutely expect it would take some time.
So are we going to do, it's probably unfair to ask you.
No, go for it.
Are we going to get back to what was normal before?
I see what you're saying about it being unfair to ask me. You know what? I reckon there's not going to be one answer that fits, because I think some people will be back into the swing, and I think some people will be taking longer.
Do you think some people won't come back into the swing? But some people have just closed down a bit?
Do you know, I think, let me talk to it from the health service perspective.
Yep.
I would say that we're finding new ways to reach people. So wherever someone is at, we now do a range of telehealth and telephone services, and that is the new normal. So face-to-face is available, but now that health providers have demonstrated that they can provide all sorts of services through these these technological means, that's very much what we're doing. So if there were members of the community who weren't yet ready to sort of do the face-to-face thing, I would be saying there's a range of allied health services that they'll still potentially have a way to access,
I think,
including counselling.
One of the things that certainly from my point of view is I learned a lot more how to use computers, and I was doing interviews sitting in my spare room at home writing Greek was in the studio here and talking to people all over Australia, which if you'd have told me that 3 years ago I could do it, I'd have said you're mad. But, I mean, we all had to learn new ways of doing
things. Yeah, absolutely. And we're amazing in what we can adapt to, but adapting to things is also incredibly tiring.
And not everybody is on board straight away either.
It takes time.
Yeah.
It takes time, absolutely.
Lisa, we'll take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
But gold prevails, coloured ships with silver sails, floating in my mind, and silver shackles bind with phosphorescent twine. Elevator driver, carry me please. Elevator driver, move. Elevator driver, carry me please. Elevator driver, move. Past the stories of confusion to my penthouse of illusion. Elevator driver. Ancient steeples draped in a maze of flowers. Ancient steeples tangled in leafy bowers. Rosella sail the amber skies. Polka dotted butterflies. Spiders weave a web. The gold around my head. Colors rise in it.
With me, Lisa from Eastern Health, and we're now going to start to talk about this program that they've got for the Better Mental Health program. So, Lisa, tell us a bit about it, what you're hoping to achieve, and a bit about the program, please.
So, we've been running the Better Mental Health program for a couple of years now, and it's a 6-week program. It's a skills-based program, and it's looking at all sorts of skills and strategies for better mental health. So basically, no matter where you are on the spectrum of well-being, it has strategies and therapeutic skills that help you to be well and also stay well. So we look at things like how to manage challenging thoughts, how to manage difficult feelings. We look at something called values, which maybe we'll get a chance to talk about a little bit more today.
Yep.
And then we also look at relationships, social connection, and we also look at a field of psychology called positive psychology, which I suspect is going to be up your alley, Alan. It is the science of well-being, and there's actually a range of really simple, practical things that we can do to increase our levels of what they call subjective well-being, which basically just means happiness.
So I was going to say, explain to me what sort of happiness you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like walking down the street, ha, 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 or just feeling happy or what?
So there, gosh, I wasn't intending to go down this path, but I will go down it. Alan, they say the good life has three components.
Yep.
And let's see if my brain can remember what they are. One is pleasure. Yep. Right, so good food.
Something that makes you feel happy.
Absolutely, yep. It's going to be different for everyone. Another one is called, I think it's called eudaimonia, and it basically means meaning, so pleasure, meaning. And the third one is engagement or flow. And so they say that you want to have a dose of each of those three things for mental health, levels of well-being, yep. and essentially air quotes, the good life.
So this program that you're talking about, the better mental health programs, you talk about skills-based. I don't quite get how you have, what sort of skills you mean.
Absolutely. Let me talk you through it.
Yep.
But as I start to talk, I want to say to you, you give me a little signal when I need to wind it up.
Because the thing
about me is I can talk and I can talk and I can talk.
Well, okay? We won't let that happen.
All right. So when we break down skills for good mental health, we're looking at all sorts of things. And I'm going to start with a buzzword, which is mindfulness. So mindfulness is the act of being in the present moment, without judgment, and just being able to actually tune into your brain and your body and notice what's going on. So it sounds like an easy enough thing, but in practice it actually takes quite a bit of training. And a good way to understand what mindfulness is to think about what it's not. So we often spend a lot of our days in a state of mindlessness where we are wrapped up in what has happened in the past, or thinking, this is one I'm very guilty of, thinking a lot about what's coming up in the future. So,
what, you mean today or weeks in advance?
Hey, either or. But the skill of mindfulness is coming back to that present moment as it is right in the here and now.
Yeah.
So for you, mindfulness in this moment would just be, and this is a big ask because you're a radio host, so it's your job to be thinking about what's coming next. Yep. But mindfulness would be just simply being in this conversation without doing the time counting.
Don't think of anything else.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm not encouraging you to do it because you've got a show to run. But
and we'll never get through it.
Yes, and you can do anything mindfully. So you can eat chocolate mindfully. You can also eat chocolate mindlessly. You can drive mindfully. You can do your dishes mindfully. So mindfulness is just one of the skills. But we also look at skills like how to unhook from a challenging thought. You know, how to manage a really challenging emotion state when it pops up out of nowhere.
So are we saying, like, if there's something coming up next week that I'm really worried about, are we saying don't focus on that, focus on the now? Is that the sort of...
So I would probably never give like a don't focus on it, because you can't help it, can you, right? If something's coming up that's important to you, your brain's going to go there.
It might be something you've got to do, but you don't want to do.
Very true. Yeah. What we might, and I say this very tentatively because each individual is so different and I'm speaking very broadly here, but what we might look at is how you notice it when your brain wanders towards that thing that's coming up. Might be a test, it might be an unpleasant errand, it might be a difficult conversation. Yep. You'll notice your brain wandering towards it, and that's your invitation to say, hang on a minute, brain, come back.
Wait until later.
I will deal with that, but is it going to help me to think about it now?
And that's true, it's not.
I know, but tell it to our brains, Alan, right?
Yeah.
The brain, you can think of it like a don't get killed machine. So when we evolved as human beings, danger was lurking around every corner, and it actually helped us to overthink. It helped us to say, is this berry a food source or a poison? Is that rustle a bird or a tiger, right? It helped humans to overthink.
Yep.
And our lives have changed so much in many hundreds of thousands of years, but our brain has not changed as much as we have needed it to.
Yep.
And so we still bring that amount of emotional attention and energy to all sorts of things that we'd love a little bit of flexibility to let go of.
Oh, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yep. So that's all part of this program.
Absolutely.
Do you teach people how to do it? Or?
We do. We do. So we look at, so this week, we met this morning, which is why I was a little bit late to the studio, full disclosure. We looked at some of the core concepts like mindfulness, and another one, which we can absolutely dig into, called self-compassion. And then next week we look at things like, how is it that you pull yourself back from a challenging thought pattern?
All right, so what, when you say self-compassion, I'm not sure what you quite mean by that.
I'm so glad you went for that. So self-compassion is, let's start with compassion.
Yep.
Compassion is something that we are often very, very good at extending out to other people. And we are not so good at extending it to ourselves. And often we didn't have self-compassion modeled to us, right? And many of us over the years have become very, very hard on ourselves. So much so that we've almost developed a bit of an inner critic, you might say.
And a lot of people say that they're a harsher critic on themselves than what anybody else would be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we, as a general pattern, we tend to say things to ourselves that we would never say to somebody else, right?
Yeah.
We are our own harshest critics a lot of the time. Yep. So self-compassion is a concept that's been really, really extensively researched. Yep. And what they've found is that self-compassion has huge connection to mental health. So the more self-compassionate you are, the better the outcome tends to be for your well-being. I'm having a tiny think while I think about how to break it down.
While you take that break, I'll take a quick break and we'll be
back. Fabulous, we'll be back.
My friends, please hear me do. I've got a message just for you.
Eastern Health.
Absolutely.
I've written a couple of these
here.
Absolutely. I messed myself up. Lisa, you want to keep on going on this self-compassion. Can I just ask you?
Go for it.
That's where I messed myself up. This Better Health program, is it, can people join it now or is it?
So we've just had week one, which means that you could join. Hypothetically, you could join before week two and you just want to give us a buzz pretty soon. But probably more than anything, I want to let people know that we will absolutely be running this again in the new year.
Yeah.
And so they're very, very welcome to keep their eyes and ears peeled for the Better Mental Health program. So if someone's thinking this is for me, now's the time, I would definitely recommend giving the service a call and we can talk about the numbers for that before I go.
I was going to say, you're going to give the numbers at 5 to 2.
Absolutely, absolutely. But if you're thinking to yourself, gee, that's a little bit interesting, I'd like to know a little bit more.
Yep.
We will be doing this again in the new year. So we usually run with the school term. So you'd be looking out for the program be starting exactly March. And one of your options, which I really recommend, is if you're thinking about it for next year, give us a buzz, leave your name with us. And what we do then is we pop you on a wait list for the group. And it just means that as soon as we know what we're doing, we let you know, and it keeps you
Sounds
totally
good.
In the loop.
So let's talk a bit more about the program so that people know what they're signing up for.
So key pillars of the program, we had a bit of a look at mindfulness as a skill for mental health, and now we're looking at this concept of self-compassion. And so I feel like we've all got a gut sense of what self-compassion means, but it's got these three components when you break it down. So component number one to self-compassion is self-kindness. So extending kindness and understanding to yourself rather than harsh criticism or judgment, which is sometimes we really naturally go towards self-judgment.
Well, we certainly do.
Absolutely. Yep. And so we look at how to notice that, how to unhook from that, which is a little bit of its own art form.
And try and stop before you get right into it. Is that the idea?
And even when you first get started with noticing your thoughts and where they go, your first step is actually really just the noticing. And it's a little bit later down the track that you get to the point where you go, I'm doing that thing I always do, where I give myself a hard time for this exact thing. Yep. And does giving ourselves the hard time actually make us better, Alan?
No, it doesn't.
It really doesn't. And if it did, wouldn't we all be at complete mastery by now, right? And so that's when you get to that level of awareness, you start to have a choice point that didn't exist before that. And your choice point is, do I want to beat myself up or do I actually want to invite some compassion? So self-kindness, component number one. The next component is something called common humanity. So common humanity is something that we don't often talk about it, but it's seeing your experience as part of the larger human experience rather than something that is separating and isolating. So when we're in a challenging emotion state like despair, loneliness, let's go for something like embarrassment, right? No one likes to feel embarrassed. No one likes to fail, right? When we experience these things or when these things happen to us, we often tend to feel really, really alone. And one of the components of self-compassion is this idea of common humanity, because we want to look at, instead of feeling totally alone in the suffering, how is it that we go, no, hang on a minute, suffering is actually part of being human. Lots and lots of people before me have suffered. Lots of people after me will, and this is actually something that connects me to other people, doesn't separate me.
And one of the things that really is a big problem in the community is loneliness.
Absolutely.
Isn't it? It's a real problem.
Absolutely. And that's another reason why we would run a group program, right? Because we can talk about all of these things in individual therapy, and we do. But that doesn't quite capture the power of a group. Because it's nothing like hearing other people say the things that you yourself experience to go, oh, hang on a minute.
Yeah, that's
it's not
that's
just me.
Yeah, not just me. Because we all think that that's just us, aren't we?
Absolutely. Yeah. And the fact is that it's actually never just us. If you're going through it, then other people are too.
And have done before you as well, isn't it? It's not just you by yourself.
Absolutely. And sometimes people have some pretty nifty, pretty ingenious ways that they've learned to cope with things. And so it's always great to be able to get insights like that from other people. And so we've looked at self-kindness, we've looked at common humanity, and then the third component is something we have very much already covered in this show today, and that is that mindfulness, which is that ability to just hold thoughts and feelings in your awareness. And with mindfulness and self-compassion, we're looking at holding them in a balanced awareness. So not holding on too tight, not over-identifying with a painful thought, being able to take a step back and just see it for what it is, which is a collection of words.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm.
So I guess the 'cause loneliness, I'm honing in on that a bit.
Please.
Because particularly, we have quite a few listeners, I know, in the older age group, and particularly when you start, some of them have retired to places like Healesville, Warburton, and all that, and they had their lives planned, and then the partner dies.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, that's a huge problem, loneliness, I believe.
Yep. Absolutely. I'm just pausing while I have a tiny think on that. I agree with you that loneliness is an epidemic, and that the antidote to loneliness is connection.
Yep.
And so the challenge then for community groups like yours, like mine, is to kind of say, how is it that we can connect in with people?
Yeah.
And how is it that we can engage in something? And this is a shameless pullback to some of the material in the Better Mental Health Program.
Yep.
How can we then engage in something called values-based action? So,
all right, so what's value-based action?
So I'll start by saying what values are.
Yep.
So you can think of values as your heart's deepest desire for how you want to behave as a human being. So it's not a destination on the map, but it's like your compass that's pointing you north.
In the
so
direction, yeah.
There are limitless values, right, in that. You know, one person might value freedom. Another person might value connection. Another person, again, values citizenship, loyalty, community, whatever it might be, right? So what we do as part of the program is we explore what are your personal values. This is in week 4 of the program.
Yep.
And values are kind of like pizza toppings in that we all have different preferences. We all have favorite flavors of pizza, favorite values.
Yep.
And there's no wrong. There's no wrong value. There's no best value. It's just about what your values
and
are.
And I guess from time to time, our values change a bit too.
They certainly do. We change over time, don't we, right?
Yeah.
Different periods of our lives, different things matter to us, got different priorities, all sorts of stuff like that. So one of the things we look at is how do we identify our own personal values? That's one component. And then another component is how do we then engage in values-based action, which is exactly what it sounds like in that you go, how do I act in line with my values? What kind of behaviors are expressive of my deepest values? And sometimes they can be things that look really small but are actually really significant.
Yeah.
Like, for example, it might be picking up the phone and calling a friend if your value is connection or relationships, if your value is appreciation of beauty, it might be going out on the back deck and noticing all the different
birds. It could be painting.
And so then we start to notice little inroads of, okay, what can we do with that value of yours to start to link you in again, you know?
I can understand that. All right, look, I've just got to take a quick break. And I'll be back with more.
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone. It's not unusual to have fun with anyone. But when I see you hanging about with anyone, it's not unusual to see me cry. I wanna die. It's not unusual to go out at any time. But when I see you out and about, it's such a crime. If you should ever wanna be loved by anyone, it's not unusual, it happens every day. No matter what you say, you'll find it happens all the time. Love will never do what you want to do. Why can't this crazy love be more? It's not unusual to be mad with anyone. It's not unusual to be sad with anyone. But if I ever find that you've changed at any time, it's not unusual to find that I'm in love with you. Oh, 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 oh.
Welcome back to Community Connections, and I've got Lisa with Eastern Health, and we're talking about their Better Mental Health Program. You wouldn't want to say that in a hurry.
Absolutely.
Which week 1 is already gone.
Yep.
There is the opportunity to join into it as long
from
as
next week
right
onwards,
away.
Yeah. So probably week three is when we've formed a really solid, cohesive group, and we don't tend to add newcomers yep. after that. But
so what is week two and week three?
So week two, we look at self-talk. Yep. And you can look at self-talk. It's a word that we use to refer to that internal chatter or the ways that we speak to ourselves. And so, as we've kind of touched on so far, sometimes our inner dialogue can be loving and kind, but other times we find that it can be harsh or critical. And so in week two, we very much look at how our self-talk develops, the role of self-compassion in our self-talk, and then those strategies to unhook from unhelpful thoughts.
So what's week three?
Week three, we look at managing emotions, right? And so even the most challenging of emotions have an underlying purpose. And so we look at this thing called avoidance, which is something we all do when it comes to difficult emotions. And we look at how actually, it's a bit of a paradox, but trying to escape negative emotion states can actually sometimes make them feel worse. So the opposite of avoidance is acceptance. And so we look at mindfulness as a tool to really help us to sit with and kind of manage and accept and move through the challenging emotion states. Right. Then after that, week four, we look at values-based action, which we've touched on a little bit so far. Yeah. I'm incredibly grateful, Alan, that you're letting me really move through the program like this.
Well, it's what we want to do.
Absolutely. And so just to look at values in a new way, it's just like an inner pilot light, you know, the pilot light that draws us towards the things that feel individually meaningful. And of course, it's so normal in life that in the busyness of what's required of us in our various life roles, we can lose track of what our values actually are. And there can be a number of roadblocks that get in the way of being your authentic self. And so in week four...
And sometimes we put those roadblocks there ourselves, so too, don't we?
Absolutely. Yep. Sometimes we inherit them and sometimes they are our own doing. Yep. And regardless of which it is, we always look at it with complete self-compassion. And there's just such a range of ways to connect into what your values actually are. And sometimes we use collage to help us with that. And collage is a medium where you pick up your scissors, you pick up your magazines, and you really just go with the pictures that call to you. And as you arrange them on the page, you'd be surprised how it starts to kind of spell out to you what matters. Yeah, it's a really kind of creative, hands-on way of doing it. And of course, for people who are more technical and sequential and logical, there's ways that we can meet you there and do it that way as well. So absolutely no one size fits all there for that.
Yep.
And then, of course, we move into relationships and self and social connection. We actually call this week relationship to self and other, because it's our relationships to ourselves that often get a little bit overlooked. But we look at...
And they're the ones that can affect our mental capabilities as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. So we look at tools to assist with creating and maintaining healthy relationships, communication strategies, boundary setting, self-care, and we also look at like that social fulfillment versus loneliness and how things like that connect into well-being. That's always an incredibly full week.
Right.
Yeah, yep. Incredibly full week.
So which week are we up to now?
Is it got the final week, which is week six.
Yeah.
And in week six, we look at the field of positive psychology and what it has to tell us about strategies for our own well-being. And so that's things like looking at character strengths, looking at what we're good at, looking at where we feel most fulfilled. And instead of looking at what's wrong and how we fix that, we look at actually what's going right and how do we expand upon it. And so it's a very full program.
So if something's working for you,
expand it.
And if something's not working, basically dump it and get on.
It's a new way of looking at it, because for a long time, the field of psychology was looking at what's wrong with humans, how do we fix it? And that has tons of value, and I don't want to diminish that at all. Yeah. But positive psychology looks at what's going right for humans and how do we help them to flourish? How do we take human beings from baseline well-being through to like thriving, flourishing levels of well-being?
And I guess if you're not thriving, then you're still not capturing your full ability, are you? You're only sort of part of what you really could do.
So I'm pausing while I have a think on that.
I'll take a break.
Yeah,
I'll take a quick break.
Give me some thinking time.
And that was Ray Brown and the Whispers. And I must just quickly mention, I'll be here on Sunday between 12 and 3 with Music Memories and More. We'll be playing songs from the 50s and 60s. And then I'll be back on Sunday night between 6 and 8 with a rock and roll hit parade. And we'll be playing all the rock and roll songs, well, not them all, but we'll play as many as we can out of the 50s and 60s on Sunday night. So love to have you along. And yeah, let's get into have a real the weather's not going to be all that fantastic. Great to sit around, have a barbie, but anyway, or whatever you like. We're talking to Lisa from Eastern Health. Lisa, I made the comment
you
did. Wanted a break.
Absolutely.
And I was commenting that if you're not doing the best for yourself, you're not outputting the best you can. Maybe that's not how I should have put it.
So I actually loved it because it stimulates discussion, which I like.
Yep.
And I said to Alan off air that he's very much tapping into performance psychology in the way that you phrased it.
Yep.
And I think you'd said if you're not at the top of your game, you're not producing the best that you can produce.
And
is
for
that
yourself.
Sort of capture it?
Yeah, that's it.
And I think to myself, yes. And we want to look at how can we make humans prioritize their well-being in a way that feels settled and grounded and kind of helps with that sense of calm. Because I think so much in the world is a go, go, go and fuels a sense of pressure.
Yep.
And there's often a pressure to achieve. So if
that's probably the biggest pressure is to achieve.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so I suppose my emphasis is slightly different to yours, Alan, because we're looking at how can we help human beings to feel as grounded in the present moment as possible and as well and as satisfied and as contented as is available in the present moment.
Can I understand that?
Which is slightly different to what can you achieve. But I think both are really valuable.
Yeah, but I guess the point I was getting at, that if you don't give yourself the best opportunities, then I guess yourself, you're not going to feel as fulfilled either.
That's true. That's true. And I suppose being happy and healthy and rested, which is a key intentional word on my part, and well, does certainly lead to operating at your best.
Yeah.
Whatever that means for each individual.
All right. We'll take a quick break and then have a paper and pencil ready because Lisa's going to give you all the contact details. And certainly if you jump in this week, you could get into week two and I'm sure you'll be able to catch up on week one on the Better Mental Health Program. And if not, put yourself down for it for next year. So we'll be back very quickly. welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 6 minutes to two. And, we've jumped up. We've gone up to 16 degrees. I think we were at 16, were we? I'm not too sure now. But we're aiming for 20, but I think we're going to be really struggling to get it. But anyway, we'll tell you more about the weather straight after 2 o'clock news. And just a quick reminder that we will have choice tunes on. We've got the person lined up. We've got their music. We'll hear all about their life, what they've done, and the music that's been part of their lives. But at the moment, we're talking to Lisa from Lisa Health. Lisa, you've got us excited. We want to know more about this better mental health program. How are we going to find out about it?
Absolutely. So the way to find out more is to give our service a call.
Yep.
And the number for our service is 1300 130 381.
So it's 1300 130 381.
Absolutely.
What about website? Is there a website we can look up?
Ooh, not immediately that comes to mind, but I will say that number again. So that number is 1300 130 381, and it's option 4 out of the list of telephone options.
Right.
And that'll pop you through to main reception. And what you do from there is you just ask to speak to a member of the counselling team and let them know that you're interested in the Better Mental Health program. And then myself or one of my fantastic colleagues will be in touch, and we can take it from there.
Do you have Facebook?
I believe there's a Hillsville Hospital and Yarra Valley Community Health Service Facebook page.
So
if you go onto that and have a bit of a look down through, you'll absolutely come across material that's about the group.
I would have thought that you would have had a Facebook page.
Yeah.
And you'd also, I'm sure, have a decent health website.
We do. And the website has a bunch of information about the allied
general
health services.
Do they just go to Eastern Health, or is it Eastern Health Hillsville?
Eastern Health. And I think if you type it into Google, you'll find that it pops up pretty readily.
Sure you will, on most of that stuff.
Absolutely.
Mr. Google will tell you almost anything, won't they?
Absolutely. It's the information age. But we definitely recommend getting in touch. You might have gelled with some of the information today and be interested in finding out a little bit more. You may want to flag your interest for next year, or you might want to join us QuickSmart for this current round. Or anything in between. We also do individual counselling, and so that's something to hold in mind as well.
I was going to say that. I mean, this is not the only program that you run. You run a number of other programs here, don't you?
Absolutely. So we do up to about 12 sessions of counselling for community members.
Yep.
And so there's a whole range of stuff that we work with, from difficult relationships to grief and loss to challenges with mood, anxiety, all that kind of stuff. And as I mentioned right at the start, we do in-person, or we do telephone, we do telehealth, and so we
aim to be accessible. Not only telehealth, you can also do by phone, can you too?
Absolutely. And lots
of
people
older
prefer
people
that.
Who aren't quite as technically advised.
Yeah, absolutely. We have that available. And our aim is to be flexible to community preference and need.
So how often, like you said that you'll run this Better Health program again early next year.
Yeah.
Do you do it like every term, four times a year?
We certainly do when demand is present. So it fluctuates a little bit over COVID. But we've run at least twice a year through COVID as well. And the aim would be to do it every term.
So with this Better Health program, now, is it all online or?
I'm so glad you asked me that. So this current round that we're doing is our first face-to-face since before COVID.
But is it a hybrid, or is
it's
it
not? It's
no,
entirely
it's all
face-to-face.
It's all face-to-face.
Yeah. And in the future, I imagine it would be based on demand and preference. So there's a good chance it would be in person. That would be my guess.
Yep.
But if enough members of the community really wanted it online. I'm smiling a little bit as I say that, because I'm thinking, would anybody want it online after COVID?
Well, some do.
We would do it, though.
Yeah, some do.
Yeah.
Because there is still a reluctance, as I said right at the very start, there is a reluctance on some people to get out. I know I'm involved with a couple of community groups with a theatre, and they struggle to sell the tickets where they never used to, and that's basically because people are frightened to get out amongst groups.
It takes time.
Yeah. And it's kind of, Lisa, it's been terrific to have you again.
Thank you so much.
We'll no doubt have someone from Eastern Health back next year, and we'll talk our way through. Hopefully, I remember at the end of 2020, I got up and made a speech, and I said at that audience, I said, well, you've been through the worst. 2021 is going to be a terrific year, and we all know where that went. So I hope next year is going to be a good year for us all. Thank you for coming, Lisa.
Thanks for having me.
Not a problem at all. That number again is 1300 130 381. 1300 130 381. Take option 4 and ask to speak to the counselling team, and I'm sure they'll come back to you and let you know what's going on. Thanks, Lisa. You can say goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Thanks.